B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, he is Hembo. Yes.
He's got stats you need to know. He's H-E-M-B-O.
Without further ado, here he is, Hembo. Hello, Hembo.
Mikey Miss, it is good to hear your voice, my friend.
Well, let's get into this. This is a very important game for the Eagles. So it's a game that a lot of people think they need to win because the level of competition is within their wheelhouse here. So let's look at it. First of all, what kind of a team is this right now in your view?
It's an undisciplined team, and I think that's fairly obvious. Right now, the Eagles' offense has been flagged for 26 penalties. That's most in the NFL. The Eagles' defense has been flagged for 21 penalties. That is also most in the NFL. Mikey Miss, I went back 20 years. No team over that period of time has ever been the most penalized team on both sides of the ball. So the Eagles, I guess, have that sort of distinction at the moment. But I want to sort of focus on its impact on the defense for a moment. So on drives in which the Eagles' defense does not commit a penalty, their opponent scores 22% of the time. They've been pretty locked up. But on drives in which the Eagles' defense commits at least one penalty, their opponent scores 61% of the time. So it's not hyperbole to say that this team's lack of discipline, especially on defense, has essentially sabotaged the early part of the season.
Wow. 20 years. No team over that span has ever been penalized the most on both sides of the ball.
Yeah, I don't know if that's in Sirianni's pyramid or not. If so, I must have missed it. But, I mean, given all the conversation throughout the summer, like, it's just a very odd thing that the Eagles are so incredibly bad at, given what he preaches, at least publicly.
Well, what reflection is that on the coach?
An awful one. And what's curious is that this is a problem with the football team, not just one of the units, as I just described. So it's very difficult to provide like a pass at the moment. We're talking about a quarter of the season, and the Eagles are literally on pace to be the most penalized team of all time. So if they don't get that remedied, I'm not sure any of the next three stats I give you are going to matter at all. But that's obvious. Like, it's getting so bad that like we're noticing that now. The national people are now noticing it. The Eagles are so undisciplined that it's become a national story when talking about this team.
Wow. All right. So let's look at the head coach and his offensive game plan. Game one looked like he knew what he was doing. Games two and three, not so much. Last game to attack the Kansas City Chiefs, I thought he had a really good game plan. They moved the football consistently against the Chiefs. So how do you think that they're supposed to attack Carolina this week?
Yeah, I see two strategic ways to do that based upon the numbers. The first, Mikey Miss, is to run the football between the tackles. Carolina is allowing 5.3 yards a clip on those rushes, but only 2 yards per rush outside the tackle. They're an excellent horizontal team defensively, not so much up and down. And the second strategy is to attack the right side of the football field through the air. Carolina allows a QBR of 89 out of 100 on attempts from the right hash outward. That's 31st in the league. Again, this team has a couple real strengths. You can't run the football against them horizontally, and they sort of lock down about half of the field with their corners. But they're obviously in disarray when it comes to their secondary play with J.C. Horn out. They traded for C.J. Henderson from the Jags. He's going to play there a lot. I think the best mismatches for the Eagles in this game are going to be on the right side of the football field with Devontae Smith against Henderson. And believe it or not, Dallas Goedert against Jeremy Chinn. Chinn has a reputation of being a star, but at the moment, his coverage numbers are awful. I think those are two areas in which the Eagles can really exploit and move the football.
All right. I like that. Maybe Miles Sanders gets a few carries between the tackles in this game.
I mean, look, the Eagles are second in the NFL in success rate on design runs. They do it really well. You don't have to average 7 yards a clip to make it worth it because it's such a risk-averse strategy, and the Eagles are going to average, I think, 4 or 5 yards per carry, even with this offensive line. Like, they're doing a really good job of it. You don't need to establish the run to throw, but you at least need to mix it in enough so that it's not all on Jalen Hurts in his collection of receivers. I really feel strongly that, like, in football, balance isn't just a run-pass distribution. It can also be who touches the ball. But in the case of the Eagles, with a young quarterback still, they've demonstrated they can run the football effectively when they want to. I just think they need to want to more often than they have.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Okay, now, Darnold, I don't consider him one of the great quarterbacks in this league, but he has a lot of completions down the field, and especially to DJ Moore. Talk to me about that dynamic.
Yeah, so Darnold has 16 explosive completions this season. That's completions of 20-plus yards. But 8 of those 16 have been thrown to his number one weapon, DJ Moore. So how do the Eagles stop him? I dug into this, and this is what the numbers yield. So Moore wins off the line of scrimmage better than most any receiver in the NFL. So in other words, do not press him off the line. In fact, on a per-route basis, Moore averages about 70% more yardage when he's pressed than when he does against off coverage. If the Eagles can manage that situation, and he can average, even if he catches 8 or 10 balls, but he averages, say, 10 or 12 yards a clip, I have a hard time seeing Carolina moving the ball down the field in chunks. The Eagles have been reasonably good in this area. Now, Sam Darnold rushed for more touchdowns than any player in the league this year, which is sort of an oddity. I don't expect that to continue, and that's why I sort of lean into this as a priority. Do not allow the downfield passing game to get going, and DJ Moore is really the only guy so far for Carolina who has demonstrated he does that at a high level.
That would fit probably what Jonathan Gannon does defensively with a zone and two deep, all that kind of thing. So maybe.
But I will say this. It is absolutely inexcusable to me that last week Patrick Mahomes had 15 chances to complete passes against the Eagles playing man coverage. He went 14 to 15 in those opportunities with nearly a perfect passer rating. Like, to me, you can't trust your guys in space against that team. We shouldn't try here either. I'm with you. Gannon needs to lean into that zone, keep things underneath, because the Eagles have shown they do that well. Let's stick to what we do well and make them beat us doing it that way.
All right, the line is shrunk. But the power index is not reflective of the three-point line that's posted in Vegas with Carolina favor.
No, that's right. So ESPN's football power index, Mike, likes Carolina more than Vegas does. FPI says the Eagles have only a 35% chance to win this game. That equates to a 5-point underdog. Should the Eagles win via upset here, our model would give them just a 17% chance to make the playoffs, if you're at all thinking playoff thoughts. If not, that number dives to 7%. So our model says the Eagles aren't nearly as close to Carolina as Vegas thinks, but I think there's a little too much confidence in what Carolina has done so far this season against a really weak schedule in the first 3 weeks of the season.
All right. Sounds good. The only thing left for the great Hembo is a prediction.
I like the birds in this game, Mikey. I don't love the Eagles with this number, but I like them. And what encourages me is the fact that we're getting a heavy, heavy helping of public love for Carolina. And that, combined with the fact that the line has moved a point in the Eagles' favor, is sort of an early indication to me that this is probably something of a coin flip game. If you can get the Eagles plus 3.5, you definitely do it. But I'm not gonna exclaim it outright and burn your ears today, because I don't feel that confident the way that I did in week one. But I feel good about the Eagles covering this number based upon some matchup advantages and based upon the sort of movement here with the number in Vegas.
Wow. So you are thumbing your nose at the football power index.
I think that their record is inflated, and I think Dallas really exposed a lot of issues with that football team that the Eagles theoretically should be able to exploit as well.
All right. Sounds good. Hembo, always a pleasure, brother. We will talk to you.
You're a good man.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen. The great. H-E-M-B-O. Hembo.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.